scarred hands and feet. I saw Jesus in front of me, and he said,
My daughter, I want you to look at my hands again.
And he pointed to the scars on his hands and feet, the unusual voice that I used for vocalizing when spiritual visions came to me. Did not come forth this time. I sat in the Lord's presence in total silence as he continued to speak to me.
I want you to keep on writing everything I show you,
he directed. I nodded my agreement. It was incomparably wonderful to be able to visit privately with the Lord during our public worship service. I wanted to stand up and tell everyone I had just seen the Lord and that he had shown me his scars. But something deep in my spirit cautioned me not to do this. So I sat patiently until the service was over. I believe it was the still, small voice of God's Holy Spirit that told me not to speak. Since that time, I have learned that there is, as Solomon wrote, a time to speak and a time to remain silent. See Ecclesiastes 3:7. Jesus was training me to become sensitive to the Spirit's leading in my life, and I knew that until he directed me otherwise, I was to be receiving instead of giving. Throughout the service, I cried under the precious anointing of the Holy Spirit. The shaking subsided when the Lord left, but the tears did not. I heard the pastor's words, but my mind and spirit were focused on something else. The scars the Lord had now shown me twice. I began to meditate on some of the scriptures I had remembered from my study and other church services. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53:5. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of a skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots. Matthew 27:33-35. I could see my precious Lord and Master hanging on the cross of Calvary atop Golgotha's hill. The sharp spikes ripped at the flesh of his palms and ankles as he hung there so weak and limp. The Roman soldier's spear opened a gaping wound in his side, and streams of blood coursed down his face from the crown of thorns they had pushed onto his head. There was a puddle of blood at the foot of the cross, and the people stepped into his blood as they clambered, trying to get his seamless robe. The sky overhead was lead gray, and lightning flashed in the distance. The people mocked him, spit at him, and cursed him. They were having a fiendish party at my master's expense. Then, in my mind's eye, I saw his mother, Mary, bowing near the cross, her body trembling and tears forming rivers on her face. Oh, how I understood how she must have felt on that first Good Friday. She had to watch her naked son, the one she loved so much, being tortured and killed in front of her, and there was nothing she could do to stop it. Jesus could have called 10,000 angels to come to his assistance, but instead he chose to accept the cruel, shameful death of crucifixion so that we could find the path of life. I thank God for the vision he imparted to me, for now I truly understand all that Jesus went through for the people he loves so much. He was suspended on the cruel cross between heaven and hell so that we would have eternal life. He never sinned, and yet he willingly took all of our sin upon him. What a wonderful Savior he is! The scars on his hands and feet are real. I've seen them. They are the marks of horrendous suffering, anguish he experienced for you and me.